Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Amy Spreeman.
And I'm Michelle Leslie. Well, this is the time of year when things tend to ramp up with holidays and special events. And we've talked about Halloween, we've talked about Reformation Day, and this year there's also a pivotal day taking place the first week in November.
That's right. Tuesday, November 3rd is Election Day in the United States, and we'll not only be voting for President of the United States, but also other, you know, local, state, and national leaders. Voting is a real privilege, and I think we've lost some of that. For U.S. citizens, it is a right. We want to encourage you to use your vote as a godly influence by voting according to biblical values. So how should Christians vote? Maybe some of you have already voted. What are some of those biblical principles that should guide our voting? So we're going to get into that tonight in this episode.
Well, let's start at the very beginning. So generally speaking, whenever possible, American Christians should vote. Now, we're not saying it's a sin if you can't vote for some reason, whether that's a spiritual reason or some other good reason, but just really take some time to think about the sacrifice of the dedicated men and women who have given their lives, their time, their energy in the cause of freedom over the years, that we might have the luxury of having a voice in our governance. Voting is a blessing from God that a lot of people in the world don't have. Should we treat this gift lightly by failing to exercise it? You know, it's something to think about. If you've never had the opportunity to visit a country such as those in the Middle East in which basic freedoms and women's rights are limited, if in existence at all, I urge you to do so if at all possible, to visit one of those countries. And by the way, when I say women's rights, I'm not talking about feminism in the ERA like here in America. Yeah, you know, I'm talking about countries where women are denied basic human rights just because they're women. Places where discrimination and mistreatment of women are codified into law. You know, after I returned to the United States from a visit to the Middle East several years ago, I realized just how much we take for granted and what an enormous blessing it is that God has seen fit to place us in a land of liberty and abundance and opportunity. When I vote, I see it as a way of returning thanks to God for the gift of freedom and for honoring those who have made the ultimate sacrifice to secure our liberties.
Yeah, that's right. And it's so important to exercise the right to vote that God has given us. So the big question that's probably on a lot of your minds is, whom should Christians vote for? Well, we're not going to tell you who, but the Bible says, and we're going to tell you what God says. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that whatever we do, we should do all things for the glory of God. So whatever and all things includes voting, right? Christians should vote for the person and policies they believe will bring the most glory to God. And considering the candidate options with which we're often presented, this at times seems an almost impossible task. How do we know which candidates to vote for? Well, like all other decisions in a Christian's life, this one should be governed by God's leading through prayer and biblical principles. Ask God for wisdom to make a godly decision. That sounds pretty easy, right? I mean, we can study the candidate's platform and where he stands on each issue. Is he a proponent of anything that clearly conflicts with Scripture? And would he push to legalize or undergird the things that God calls sin, such as abortion or sexual perversion of any kind? Does he support the persecution of Christians, denying us freedom of speech or assembly, and taking away the rights of Christians to run their businesses according to their biblical principles? Can we as Christians, whose life goal is supposed to be loving Christ, turning from sin and pursuing holiness, knowingly and intentionally disregard the fact that, you know, a candidate would stand in favor of sin rather than fighting against it and give him our support? Can we do that? Well, sometimes we lean towards voting for the candidate who would benefit us the most personally. You know, perhaps he's promised a tax cut for our particular bracket or said he would improve the roads we're using for traveling to work. In and of themselves, those are good things, but does this platform also include favoring things which would hurt others or be detrimental to the fabric of our society in general? In other words, should a Christian vote for something or someone who will benefit herself at the expense of harming others? I don't believe we can do that and remain true to biblical principles such as, I'll put a couple of verses in here, do nothing from selfishness or emptied conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And that's right from Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. And then over in Romans, it says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification, for even Christ did not please himself. That's Romans 15, verses 1 through 3a. So the Bible calls us to the mindset and heart attitude of placing others ahead of ourselves and laying down our lives for others and doing what's best for others before we even consider what's best for ourselves.
That's right. And, the question of a candidate's character, that's another issue for Christians to consider, especially in this election. That's kind of a big issue for Christians. Some Christians consider sitting out an election or voting for a third party candidate who has little to no chance of being elected because one of the two major candidates stands for ungodly policies, while the other one, whose policies more closely align with biblical principles, mm-hmm. is a person of questionable character. I completely understand this dilemma. And if you're strongly convicted that you should either not vote or vote for a third party candidate, then you certainly should not violate your conscience. But that being said, your conscience should be molded primarily by scripture, but also by reason. So if I could just offer a few thoughts for our listeners' consideration. First of all, consider this. Could you possibly cast a ballot for the major candidate that, has poor character with the perspective that you're not voting for him, but that you're voting against the major candidate with ungodly policies? Or could you go into the voting booth with the mindset that you're voting for policies and not a person? So that's one thing to consider. Something else, voting for a particular candidate, and I think we really need to get this straight in our minds because it can be a little confusing, but voting for a particular candidate does not mean, even in God's eyes, that you agree with or endorse any sinful actions he has committed in the past in his personal life. You're hiring him to do a secular job. I mean, if you were interviewing someone to clean your house and you found out that in the past she had an affair and divorced her husband, would hiring her mean that you approve of her past sin? And I know it's not exactly the same, but I mean, it's sort of an illustration of kind of what's going on here. And then consider the fact that the most quote-unquote moral politicians of yesteryear may have been in actuality just as immoral as the immoral candidate currently on the ballot, but because the media and the historians were much more discreet and protective of politicians' privacy back then, you just don't know about their moral failings. So there could have been plenty of immoral politicians in the past, and we just don't know about it. Statistically speaking, the vast majority of politicians are or have been unsaved, just like the vast majority of people, period, are unsaved. Yeah. And sinners gonna sin, even if you don't know about it, You will never have the opportunity to vote for someone who isn't a sinner. Every candidate has sinned in the past, and every candidate will sin once in office. So certainly personal character is important, but the policies a leader enacts will have far-reaching consequences that long outlast his character. I mean, think about it. What do you know about the character of William Henry Harrison or Martin Van Buren or Rutherford Hayes? I mean, I don't know anything about their character or what they were like, and yet some of their policies are still in effect today. So that's something to think about.
Yeah, definitely food for thought. And here's something else to think about, Michelle. In the case of modern day presidential candidates, remember that their policies will have long lasting impacts as well, like appointing Supreme Court justices and judges in the lower courts as well. So I also want to acknowledge and respond to some of the opinions from Christians that are, trending on different social media right now, such as, you cannot be a Christian if you vote for so-and-so. Now, I've heard this said about both candidates running for president, and a little heart check here. Are we really in the position to decide whether a Christian voter is actually hellbound based on how this person casts his or her ballot? Or is that judgment someone else's job? So something to think about. And look, it really drives me crazy when I hear Christians saying they're voting for a candidate or a party that openly hates God, hates the church, hates the family structure, lies to and is okay with mutilating children who are simply confused about how God created them. And, this pro-abortion thing in, abortion in the womb and infanticide after a baby is born. Ladies, there really is no way to justify supporting those who hate God. So think about that. All of that said, sometimes we take all of these biblical principles into consideration and we vote for the candidate we believe is going to make the most Christ-like decisions, and then he loses the election. I don't know about you, Michelle, but I'm usually pretty disappointed when this happens. But that disappointment, at least emotionally, dissipates pretty quickly after election eve, knowing that God is in control and he never leaves us or forsakes us. So we need to keep this in perspective. We control nothing. And two, who knows but God how the outcome will be used by him. Remember, he uses all things. And it's entirely within the realm of possibility that the person who won the election will get radically saved after taking office and make even more godly decisions than the other candidate would have made. It could happen, I'm just saying. It's also possible that he will unintentionally make the decisions God wants him to make for other reasons, such as political expediency or pleasing a particular special interest group. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. You never know what could happen. So in addition to praying for wisdom before we vote, we also have a biblical mandate to pray for the winner after the election is over, right? So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And ladies, and Michelle too, I was just thinking that as I was reading that that's a really good thing to share with your children, because they're learning about elections right now. They're bombarded with the same thing. They're picking up on our anxiety. They're picking up on the tension going on. Sharing that verse with them, I think, would be tremendous in knowing that this is why we pray for these folks.
Yeah, that's right. And, as you were saying that, I was just thinking, if you help your kids to memorize that verse and start teaching them about praying for our politicians and the governing authorities and things like that, they're going to remember that. And the next time you start complaining about the president or whoever, they're going to remind you about that. And maybe that's a good thing that they'll remind you that we need to pray for them instead of complaining. I know they just do things that drive us crazy and sometimes that are absolutely evil. But it's really important to remember to pray for our governmental leaders. And also, with this election coming up, we need to pray that God will give us wisdom about who to vote for and just try to vote in the most godly way possible. But above all, we have to remember that while this election and future elections may determine who will sit in the White House, the Congress, or the State House, they do not, nor will they ever, determine who sits on the throne of the universe as king. So please steward your vote in a godly way. Research the candidates, the issues, and the scriptures, and vote for the people and proposals that are most aligned with biblical principles. If you'd like to get a solid biblical perspective on some of the specific issues at play at the national level in the 2020 election, we're going to recommend that you hop on over to Allie Beth Stuckey's podcast, Relatable, and listen in to her recent episodes about the candidates and the issues. And you can find Allie Allie and all of her info at AllieBethStuckey.com.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, you can always find us and all our info at awordfitlyspoken.life, including the ways you can support us on PayPal and Patreon. And we'd like to say a special thank you to some wonderful donors who recently did just that. Thank you to Teresa and Diana for becoming monthly Patreon donors. And thank you so much to Hillary, Joseph, and Catherine for your generous PayPal donations.
Yes, thank you so, so much. And thank you for listening to another episode of A Word Fitly Spoken. Don't forget to check the show notes for more helpful resources. And until next time, vote to the glory of God and walk worthy. Thank you.